Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, September the 11th. And our Great Lakes are in the news today. The chair of a special state study committee on the Great Lakes Compact notified legislative leaders yesterday that the committee has failed to reach a consensus on passing the compact, and he was adjourning and dissolving the committee. The Great Lakes Compact is a pact involving 8 states bordering the Great Lakes in an effort to preserve and protect the water from being diverted elsewhere. Meanwhile, the Great Lakes water levels are at near historic lows right now, and U.S. Senators Russ Feingold and Herb Kohl have recently called for a special hearing into why the upper Great Lakes volumes are shrinking and want actions to address the problem. And as if on cue, our guest this hour also says a University of Alabama professor has posed the idea of piping Great Lakes water to the Sun Belt as a way to solve water shortages in the South. We will talk with a guest from the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters about how much risk the Great Lakes are facing right now and the importance of passing a strong Great Lakes Compact. And we'll also wonder what the holdup is in Wisconsin. And we will welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Are you concerned that thirsty states and other parts of the country have their eyes on the Great Lakes? And what do you think needs to be done to preserve the Great Lakes resource? Our guest this hour is Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lots of stuff in the news today regarding the Great Lakes and the Great Lakes Compact. I wasn't aware that the study committee in the state of Wisconsin was having a difficult time reaching consensus. How significant is this that Senator Neil Kedzie has notified the legislative leaders that he's disbanding this study committee?
Well, it's significant in the way that now it's time to move on to something else. That committee really had run its course, and there were 19 people on the committee, and of them, 8 of them were for one particular geographic area of the state. And so while it attempted to have some diverse representation, in the end, geographically, it didn't. And this is an issue that really, really does depend on geography even more than political ideology, and the fact that there was such a tilted sway to the committee kind of had a fatal flaw from the start, and they struggled with that for a year. And some good discussions were had, and I think there are things that will come out of that committee that will be useful to legislators as they draft the legislation to pass the Great Lakes Compact. But ultimately, I think this was a good thing. It had run its course, and it's time to move on and actually get a bill going here in Wisconsin.
Well, what was the obstacle dealing with geography?
Well, the Great Lakes Compact was agreed upon by the 8 Great Lakes states, as you mentioned. In December 13th, 2005, the governors all signed an agreement that said, basically, we will go back to our states and we will make our best effort to get this through the Assembly, the Senate, and signed by the governor of each of our own states. And when that agreement was made, somebody said, who was a part of these talks for nearly 5 years, that we know this was a good compromise because a little bit of everyone's blood was left on the table. And that's absolutely correct. And one of the compromises that was made was from the other 7 states to Wisconsin, and actually put a provision in the compact that said, recognizing that in Wisconsin, some of our biggest population centers are right on the line of the Great Lakes Basin. So they put a provision in that said, if you're a community that straddles that line, that ecological determination of where water flows, the state of Wisconsin gets to decide whether you can use Great Lakes water or not. But if you're in a community that is in a county that straddles that line, the county needs to go through reach a set of standards and then present it to the other states to get approval for that diversion. And that's where the complication comes in, because it does affect communities like Waukesha. Our concern is putting, stacking a committee with that community and that community only is a concern, because there are certainly other communities that have a lot to think about where the Great Lakes Basin is concerned.
Yeah. The Great Lakes Compact, in a nutshell, will somehow protect the Great Lakes from being diverted to other thirsty states.
That's the big picture. And there's really two goals of the Great Lakes Compact. The first one is, just like you said, to prevent the diversion of our waters to other thirsty states and countries. And there's been proposals to do both. But it also is aiming to make sure that Wisconsin itself uses the water that we have in a wise way, so that we're actually placing less demand on our own Great Lakes here in the state as well.
Yeah, the you though then are not that concerned that this study committee has disbanded. You think that's a good thing, and what do we want to see now?
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I actually think this is a really good step forward. It was slowing us down. Of the eight Great Lakes states, two have passed it into law. That's Minnesota and Illinois. And then the other five states all have legislation moving somewhere in their legislature. Wisconsin is the only state that doesn't have anything. We had this study committee. And it's time to get a draft out there to get a bill moving.
Yeah, so you just want some lawmakers to introduce some sort of bill to pass the compact.
That's right, and there's rumblings on both sides of the aisle, people that are very interested in not just passing a compact, but one that is improved and better, the strongest possible for Wisconsin. And the governor, too, has shown some interest in that. And as the study committee proved, the devil's in the details. There's a lot to work out here, but it's better to do that in the form of, with the goal of getting a bill out. And so, you know, here we go.
We are talking with Ann Sayers. She is program director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, talking with us about the Great Lakes Compact and what we need to do now in Wisconsin to get the ball rolling on this. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 17 minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Tuesday, September the 11th. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, I'll be welcoming in Frank Rich, who is a columnist for the New York Times and author of the book, The Greatest Story Ever Sold, The Decline and Fall of Truth in Bush's America. He'll talk with us about the latest with the Iraq War and the testimony yesterday on the progress of the surge before Congress, 9/11, and other events of the day. That's coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. Right now, we're talking with Ann Sayers, who is with the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, about the Great Lakes, the Great Lakes Compact, and the need to preserve and protect the Great Lakes. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our conversation prompted in part by the disbanding of a study committee in Wisconsin that was trying to reach some consensus on the Great Lakes Compact. It did not, so that's why the study committee has been disbanded. Ann Sayers says that's a good thing. It's time just to get off the ball now on this and pass legislation. Our neighboring states, a couple of our neighboring states have already done so. Five other states have drafted legislation, and Wisconsin has not yet drafted a bill. So we're talking about why that is and what needs to be a part of this bill and welcoming your questions. We do have Gene in Madison online. Let me go to Gene first. Hi, Gene. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, to what extent does Canada influence anything that happens to the Great Lakes? I thought there was an international treaty, and if we are going to use water outside of the Great Lakes Basin, will this not require Canadian approval before this can happen? Could you please clarify? Because I don't think it's just a U.S. matter.
Yeah, Canada is a part of this too, right, Ann Sayers?
Yeah, it's a really great question. Like I said, for 5 years prior to this point in time, the eight Great Lakes states and, I may have failed to mention, the two Canadian provinces bordering the Great Lakes were a part of writing this compact. So on December 13, 2005, when those eight governors went back to their states to pass it, the two Canadian provinces also made a commitment to pass it. And you know, what I did say about the everyone kind of feeling like sacrifices were made, Canada really feels like sacrifices were made. Their conservationists and environmentalists are saying the compact doesn't go far enough. It's not strong enough. If there's any weak link in the compact and the trust we can have and how it will be implemented, it is not Canada. They feel very strongly about protecting these Great Lakes, and I think they're a very viable partner that we have.
All right, Jean?
Well, I guess it didn't answer the question. Don't the Canadians have a veto power to taking water to the Southwest? Wouldn't the Canadians have to agree as a national government to do this? They can't be outvoted. It's 50-50, is it not?
It actually isn't, because the compact will be just a U.S. agreement. And so the Canadians are really taking a leap of faith here that the Americans will come together and pass this compact. That's the only thing that can stop withdrawals from to southwestern states.
So the treaty changed of some sort?
I'm not exactly sure what treaty you're speaking of. The one thing that's in place right now to protect the Great Lakes is called the Water Resources Development Act. It's a federal law, so it's U.S. law, and it's very vague.
Well,
it's strong, but it's vague.
The level of the Great Lakes has to be agreed by an international compact. Is that not true?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Great Lakes Compact, though, is concerned about it's not the quality of the water, it's the quantity of the water. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so the lake levels, which are at near historic lows, must be a concern to you and others who are watching this issue.
It is concerning, because right now we don't actually have any diversions, and we're already facing these low lake levels. And there are actually quite a few recorded consequences already this summer. We're looking at lake levels in Superior that are at least 13 inches below average, and Lake Michigan that's 17 inches below average. And, you know, the cause of that, while it's not diversion, you can see how it could really be compounded if we were to have any diversions on top of the already low lake levels.
Yeah, so what are the consequences of having low lake levels?
Well, quite a few. There's been ferry cancellations up in Lake Superior. The power plants along Lake Superior are having to operate at half their regular capacity. We have ships that are having to drop their cargo because of the low lake levels, some by 5% or more. And actually, this has some severe economic consequences that the shipping industry is becoming concerned about, because for a ship averaging $6 a cargo ton and making 40 trips a year, this is going to amount to a $1 million loss per ship with these kinds of lake levels. And then there's ecological consequences as well. It's those shallow lake beds that provide the habitat for walleye and perch and pike. And with the way this is working out now, the water is actually starting at a deeper depth and eliminating that habitat that the fish depend upon. So the consequences are wide-ranging.
Yeah, so you're pleased to have Russ Feingold and Herb Cole call for this hearing on the Great Lakes lake levels?
I am. I mean, there's lots of speculation. It's just so severe that it's become a bit of a mystery why our lakes could drop so significantly so quickly. But there is evidence pointing at the fact that we've had several years of drought here, and just low precipitation, high evaporation on a surface area that large could result in low lake levels. And, of course, there's also the fact that the lakes aren't freezing over to the degree that they once did during the winter, so there's evaporation occurring for a longer period of time each year. But even with that, I think that our senators are right in asking to look into the possible consequences of past dredging and how that might also be affecting the
mm-hmm.
flow of the lake.
Mm-hmm. Jim in Madison joins us now. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Just a really quick question. I was wondering if you could give us a sense for who was on that study committee. I know it wasn't all just legislators, and if you could give me sense for whether or not WMC was on it, or, you know, the Paper Council, or
mm-hmm.
environmental community, who comprised that committee? And I guess I'll take my answer off here.
Sure. You are right. The Wisconsin Paper Council was represented. the Development Association of Superior, the Builders Association, that was a Waukesha representative. There were conservation representatives in Keith Riopelle of Clean Wisconsin, Ann Beyer of the Office of Environmental Sustainability in Milwaukee. And the legislators were folks like Senator Rob Coles, a Republican from Green Bay, and then Senator Mary Lazick, a Republican from New Berlin, who, as it turned out, were on very different sides of the issue.
Yeah, well, what are the two sides of the issue? Is it let Great Lakes water go elsewhere or not?
Well, yeah, the committee was charged with, one, determining whether a compact was really in the best interest of Wisconsin, which I think was even a little bit of an odd charge for the committee, because it, you know, for 5 years it was agreed that we needed to protect these Great Lakes as a region. And then the second one was, if so, how do we do that? And what exactly does that legislation need to include? And that's where the rub came. And like I said, there was this overwhelming presence from one particular community in the state. And you know, they're on one side. On the other side were the diverse interests, Republicans, Democrats, conservationists, major municipalities, all of them agreeing. And I think they were the better representation of Wisconsin values and where Wisconsin voters and citizens fall on this issue.
You know, help me understand that more. Just because people representing the Waukesha area were on the committee, and Waukesha, because of its own groundwater problems, wants Lake Michigan water, that's the holdup?
They do, and they have, Waukesha does have some water concerns. They have irradiated water. Nobody wants them to be drinking irradiated water. We want to find a solution so that they're healthy. That's the charge of my organization, is to support policies that protect public health. That's a major concern. However, what the compact would encourage Waukesha to do is to take the long view. The easy thing to do would be to put a pipe in Lake Michigan, pump it over to Waukesha, and watch all that water just run down the Mississippi River and out of our basin forever. The long view would be to focus on tracking the amount of water that they're using, implementing good conservation methods, providing recharge areas in the community, planning in a way that takes into account that they are a growing community with a large population and that they have water needs. And that water planning to date really hasn't happened. And, of course, there's also the option of spending the money to fix the irradiation. So those are the kinds of things that the compact would encourage Waukesha to do first. And if that still didn't work out, then under the compact they have the opportunity to get Great Lakes water. And nobody's saying that isn't a possibility.
Yeah.
But, it's a compact in a way it's a small leap of faith for a very large payback. And the folks from Waukesha just aren't willing to, at the moment, take the long view. I will say, though, that it was odd that the members of the committee from that area all seemed to kind of share that viewpoint, because there is strong interest within Waukesha, even the mayor of Waukesha, who supports the Great Lakes Compact. So even when on the committee, I feel like there just wasn't the kind of representation that was reflective of Wisconsin.
So what does the League of Conservation Voters want to see now? You want to see a lawmaker or lawmakers step up and say, here's the legislation, the language of the Great Lakes Compact, let's pass it, we don't need to study this anymore?
Essentially, yes. The Great Lakes Compact provided a baseline of standards that all the states would utilize. We'd love to see that pass, but in addition to that, we can make it a little bit stronger here in Wisconsin. So we have a set of issues that we'd like to see included that would make it even better.
We'll talk about okay, how it will be made even better in our next segment after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the Great Lakes Compact and wondering whether or not this should pass in Wisconsin. Our guest, Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, September the 11th. We are talking with our guest this hour about protecting and preserving the Great Lakes, talking about Wisconsin passing the Great Lakes Compact, a multi-state effort that also includes Canada, to stop Great Lakes water from being diverted to other states or even other countries. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. The League is part of a group called the Coalition to Protect the Great Lakes, which is advocating a six-point plan to strengthen the Great Lakes Water Resources Compact. We welcome your questions and thoughts about this for her. How big of a threat do you think it is? Other thirsty states and countries wanting Great Lakes water? How important a resource is this, the Great Lakes? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Why is it that Wisconsin is the only state in among the eight states that are a part of this pact that hasn't even drafted legislation yet? The states have to pass legislation before Congress has final approval. And Sayers, what are the 6 points that you want to add to the compact to strengthen it?
Well, the set of provisions we'd like to see included are ones that would be for Wisconsin to make it even stronger right here in our own state. And they include things like eliminating the bottled water loophole, which would prevent multinational corporations from coming into Wisconsin and selling off our water in little bottles. And our viewpoint on that is there isn't much difference between putting a pipe in and taking 1 million gallons of water to Birmingham, Alabama, or taking 1 million gallons of water and putting it in little bottles. So we'd like to see that eliminated. There's also the idea of improving the conservation standards that are within the basin or within the compact. There was some effort made in the baseline compact to encourage states to improve their own conservation standards, but we'd like to spell that out a little bit, be more detailed in exactly how those conservation standards should be met in Wisconsin, just to kind of set the example that if we're going to be preventing other states and countries from taking our water, that here in Wisconsin we're doing what we can to use our water wisely.
Yeah, like, I mean, what kind of conservation standards are you talking about? What does that mean?
Well, we're not even saying what exactly has to be done. We're just saying prior to applying for a diversion of water that you would have a plan. The community would come together and have a plan with projections of population growth and development, exactly where that community is headed and where their water use is going, and have a solid plan for how to conserve and wisely use that water. We're also asking a committee come together and work in conjunction with the Department of Natural Resources to create a plan for the entire state for how we'll conserve water. And they can use any kind of combination of water conservation methods as long as we're doing what is economically and environmentally feasible to do that.
Yeah. I see here you also want to maximize public participation and limit industry's ability to restrict public involvement or enforcement.
That's right. And here, this isn't a big change. We're just asking that the compact follow what is already currently law as far as public participation goes, so that the public would be notified if a diversion was application was made, that there would be a set of time for the public to weigh in and give their input and have some role to play in the decision making around a diversion.
We have a couple of callers. Tom and Mason joins us. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks. very interested in this subject. I live in northern Wisconsin, see Lake Superior every time I go to Ashland, and born and raised here, and I'm a little bit concerned the way they're looking at it. I can't imagine that the bottled water industry is a major concern. I think the major concern is pollution and the fact that Chicago has reversed the river and been pumping, I think, a heck of a lot more water out of Lake Superior than bottled water ever would, and I think they can get the bottled water someplace else. Also, I live up here, and we got plenty of groundwater, and I bet if I drilled 100 wells around Wisconsin, we could provide all the water they want that's been filtered through the sands and so forth from the rain. But I'd like to – I never heard anybody mention Chicago, and my bet is Chicago – reversal of the Chicago River for years and years has sent that water down the – towards the Mississippi, and it's had a bigger impact on Lake Superior than any of this other stuff. I'd like to hear an answer to that one.
It's Tom, you have a really great point. There is an issue with Chicago, and many, many years ago, they got a permit to take enough water from Lake Michigan to actually reverse the flow of the Chicago River. And this is one of those issues. Wisconsin at the time was adamantly opposed to the idea. We remain so to this day. And we were right to do that. But it was one of those issues when the compact was being negotiated among the eight states where Wisconsin said, we're not able to be involved in this if we don't have a way to help get our communities like Waukesha water. Illinois said the same thing. We're out of here if we don't get what we need in the Chicago River grandfathered in. And I don't think anyone is particularly pleased that that ended up being the case, but it was one of those sacrifices that had to be made in order to get, again, to the big picture here, which is preventing other states and countries from taking our water.
Yeah. What about his point that don't worry about the bottled water industry?
Well, bottled water actually can have a pretty significant take a pretty significant toll on our groundwater resources. And it has, you're right that it doesn't seem like much of a threat because every time a multinational corporation has come into Wisconsin seeking permission to use our groundwater resources in the basin or the Great Lakes themselves, we've kicked them back out. And it's taken a lot of grassroots support among local communities to say, you're not welcome here. But now we're just asking that become a law. So we're not even on the list of multinational corporations to come here.
So a company that wants to come to the interior of Wisconsin and tap groundwater, that is considered the part of the Great Lakes Basin that needs to be protected and not diverted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it were inside that basin line, that's correct.
Yeah. Jessica in Green Bay, hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I think this is a hugely important issue, and I was just wondering what, as a citizen, I should be doing right now to make sure we get strong protections to keep the water in the Great Lakes.
Well, I'm really glad that question was asked, because this is a critical time to do just that. And like I said, legislators across both sides of the aisle are making rumblings about wanting to get a piece of legislation out there. But they need to understand that we have this option not just for the baseline compact, but a strong compact for a strong Wisconsin. So I would encourage listeners who feel strongly about this issue to contact their own legislator and let them know that they're informed on the issue, that they're concerned about the low lake levels, and that they support a strong compact for a strong Wisconsin.
Yeah. So Jessica in Green Bay talks to who? Bob Coles?
It depends where in Green Bay, but right, her senators could be Rob Coles or Dave Hansen.
Mm-hmm. And pass the League of Conservation Voters six stronger points, or is that what you're looking for?
Well, it's not just the League of Conservation Voters. We're mm-hmm. one of more than a dozen organizations that have been working together to come up with this platform that we're calling the Strong Compact for a Strong Wisconsin. And representatives of this coalition are ones that sat on the Kedzie Committee we were talking about earlier, who've been involved in the negotiations all the way back from when we were sitting in boardrooms with the other eight Great Lakes states and two Canadian provinces. And this set of improvements are things that we think are not unreasonable and really will result in good consequences for Wisconsin. Another thing, somebody like Jessica, who's not sure of their legislator, can always go to our website, which is conservationvoters.org, and we have a spot there that will let you know who your legislator is and how to contact them.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, talking about efforts to pass a strong Great Lakes Compact in the state of Wisconsin. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this. The compact would prevent Great Lakes water from being diverted to other states or even other countries. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, I'll talk with a guest who says global warming is a very real concern. However, he says the consequences of it are being highly exaggerated. and calls for a rational discussion with realistic solutions. We'll talk with the author of Cool It. He is also known as the skeptical environmentalist, and we will wonder what you have to say to him coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about another environmental issue, the Great Lakes, and the compact that would protect and preserve the water in the Great Lakes from going somewhere else. Our guest is Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, talking with us about efforts that her group and other groups are involved in to try to get a strong Great Lakes compact for Wisconsin. And we welcome your questions about this issue and your thoughts about it at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Let me share an email that I received, Ann Sayers, from Michael in Phoenix, Arizona. Michael used to live in Wisconsin, and he writes, "Every time I hear about someone's plan to pipe Great Lakes water to the southwest, I want to laugh at the basic lack of understanding of geography of America. The southwest is on the other side of the continental divide. Ask yourself how much the lift charges will be to deliver Great Lakes water to the southwest, and you will quickly realize it is impossibly expensive, and the American Southwest will never be watered by the Great Lakes." You want to respond to that?
Well, he's right about the cost. It would be expensive, but as we know, this is about supply and demand, and the Southwest is very short on supply. And the proposal is not harebrained. It's one that even presidential candidate Bill Richardson is talking about in his campaigns. That happened just last week. It's this professor in Alabama who says the federal government should ante up and provide the resources necessary to build a pipeline that could go from the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan, all the way down to Alabama. Other suggestions, all the way to Georgia. So it's not just the Southwest. It's any place that's water thirsty. And here's what we need to keep in mind. Of all the water on the earth, only 3% of it is freshwater. Two-thirds of that is in ice caps. So only 1% of all the water is actually fresh, potable, accessible drinking water. And of that, 20% is in the Great Lakes. So at some point, cost no longer matters. It's about supply. We need water. These other states and countries know that we're sitting on it. Here in the Midwest, we have 90% of all the fresh water in the country. The Ogallala Aquifer, this is the huge groundwater resource that underlies the nation's breadbasket, is drawn down beyond belief, and they knew that was coming since the 80s when they first suggested, the Army Corps of Engineers suggested, taking our Great Lakes water to recharge the Ogallala Aquifer. So, you know, in the 20 years since that proposal was put out, there's been very little conservation going on to preserve the water in that aquifer. So I guess the comments are good, but I think we have some very real threats here.
Yeah. Did you say other countries also were eyeing the Great Lakes water?
Yeah, it was actually a proposal in 1998 that prompted all the states and Canada to finally get together and say, we're in trouble, we need to take control here. And that proposal was to take tankers in the Great Lakes, fill them with fresh water, and ship it over to Asia, and not as a humanitarian mission, but as a for-profit industry to sell water to Asia, which has 60% of the world's population and only 36% of the world's water resources.
Yeah. You shared with us a PowerPoint or a slideshow that you apparently put together to show to different groups about the problems of the lake levels and reasons why we need a strong Great Lakes compact. And I'm looking for the quote. It was from someone in Texas who said, "We know in Texas that whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over."
That's right. And he ends it by saying, you better get out there and protect your Great Lakes. And this is a former representative from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been talked about. And you know, even our lieutenant governor says she goes to these conferences nationwide, and there's actually subcommittees of lieutenant governors that talk about how to access that fresh water. And like the emailer said, there's some hurdles to get over. There's geographic and economic ones, but that is not going to be a major hurdle for much longer if we don't put some protections in place.
Bob in Madison is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Hello. I think I read that the Army Corps of Engineers dredged a river to the east, mm-hmm. draining the river, draining the lake, and that started out.
I'm sorry, drained a river where, Bob?
Drained the lake, taking water out of the Michigan to the east. No, it wouldn't seem feasible after Chicago did what it did, but. And this dredging is washing deeper and three times as much as originally planned as leaving. Are you aware of that?
I have heard about this dredging of the St. Clair River, and Senator Kedzie, who yesterday dissolved the Great Lakes Committee, has in the meantime asked for a study to be done of that exact project you're speaking of. As far as I know, there are no direct links between the low lake levels and that dredging, but it's certainly something to look into. So I can't say either way, but we are supporting any efforts being made to better study what the Army Corps of Engineers did many years back with the St. Clair River.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Bob. Maybe answer Tom's question. Tom in Black River Falls, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, he did ask the question. That was about the dredging of St. Clair River, which I understand drains about 2.5 billion gallons from the lake daily, more than Chicago takes for drinking water, which is 2.1 billion per day. I thought there had been... pretty much a proven connection, and the Army Corps of Engineers, as I understand it, now have indicated that they want to study this issue for up to some 5 years, and Canada, the Canadians are objecting to it because they have a great concern for Lake Huron as well as Lake Michigan, where we can see that the levels are down. But he did address that, so thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. No, thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry, where is the St. Clair River, Ann Sayers?
I think it's... I can't say right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so other... I mean, there are other examples in other states where, I don't know, they need their Great Lakes water for drinking, too?
I'm sorry.
I mean, are other states have the same situation going on, say, as Waukesha? I mean, or is Wisconsin unique in that?
We are somewhat unique in that we have population centers that are so very close to that basin line, and that so much of our state is actually within the basin. You can see how it may have been a little bit easier for Minnesota to pass that legislation because they really don't have a lot of shoreline compared to Wisconsin. But, yeah, other states will face this, absolutely, whether that's for population centers or for agriculture or for industry.
Mm-hmm. Richard in Manitowoc, hello, you're on the air.
Yes, my question is probably the same as the last two. Years ago, my family swam in the Detroit River, and that river system that drains down to Lake Erie, if that's dredged deeper to facilitate shipping, once the Great Lakes level drops, that's going to continue to drain more and more water. Mm-hmm. I don't think that should be done.
I think all of these callers are getting to the same conclusion, which is dredging is not a viable solution for maintaining the level of the Great Lakes, and that we need to be doing something to make sure that we're limiting the amount of water leaving our basin.
Yeah. So, where do we stand right now? Do you have lawmakers who are actively involved in trying to introduce a strong compact for a strong Wisconsin?
Well, there are certainly rumors and rumblings that something could be introduced as early as this fall. But the good news is that we're really on the front end of this, and that if at any point in time we're going to have a big influence on what this legislation will look like, it's right now. It doesn't exist. So we can be extremely proactive in asking our legislators to include the kinds of provisions that we think will be best for Wisconsin.
Yeah, and remind us of your priorities then when it comes to a strong compact.
Improving the conservation standards, eliminating the bottled water loophole, improving public participation in the process. One of the things we didn't cover was return flow, which is the compact says if you take water out of the basin, if you get that approval, you must return it. But it doesn't say in what condition. And so we think it's important that if water comes out and is headed back, that it's the right temperature, that it's coming in quantities that are acceptable and that the quality is good.
We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Ann Sayers, Program Director of the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, talking with us about her effort and her group's effort. The League is part of a group called the Coalition to Protect the Great Lakes, which is advocating a six-point conservation plan to strengthen the Great Lakes Water Resources Compact. That compact has been agreed by the governors of the eight states bordering the Great Lakes. Each of the states has to pass the compact in one form or another before Congress gives final approval. Most of the states have at least gotten started on their legislation. Wisconsin has yet to even have a draft, a piece of legislation. So talking about the efforts to get this passed in Wisconsin. We thank her for being with us. We thank Leo Duran for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. Or you can listen to our talk shows on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.